Okay. We'll entertain a motion to come back into regular session from executive session.
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Rutt, anything important in executive session?
Yes. Council has to consider the suggestion to approve the consent decree by put forth by council, Mr. Shannon. This is to either approve or deny the consent decree in the matter of Mullen versus Sussex County that's pending in U.S. District Court.
Motion.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. We accept the consent decree as stated by our attorney, Mr. Rutt.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
As before, I'll vote no for the same reasons.
Mr. Wilson.
I'll vote no.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
We'll now move into public hearings. Mr. Rutt.
Thank you. There are three public hearings today. I will read the title and the application. A representative from the Planning and Zoning Department will then present the nature of the application. The applicant will then have an opportunity to speak to the application. Then we will hear from anyone in support of the application, after which the opposition will have an opportunity to speak. There won't be any rebuttal unless Council President permits it. Any questions should be directed to Mr. Vincent, and he will get the answer for you. We do ask that both the applicant and its supporters, as well as the opposition, respect the opinions of others, and no booing and catcalls and cheers and so forth. And we do ask that you turn off all cell phones so that we don't have any electronic devices going off during the course of the application. Our first hearing will be on conditional use 1938, the application of Karen Barwick to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a therapist's office and residence to be located on a parcel of land in Lewis and Rehoboth 100. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This application was reviewed in public hearing on August 9th of 2012. The applicant provided an exhibit packet, which I just provided to council. We also, the commission in the report provided to council last week, references, comments received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Comments from the Sussex Conservation District. It also includes a reference to comments made by Karen Barwick, present with Jim Fuqua, attorney, who gave testimony. Rose Imhoff was present and expressed concerns, not in opposition to the use, but about traffic on Collins Avenue. There were five homes along Collins Avenue that her husband has maintained the street, and that Collins Avenue cannot support the traffic due to the narrowness of the street. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Wheaty stated the use will create additional traffic on a private road, and that if necessary, group sessions could be held off-site. On August 9th, there was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. On August 23rd of 2012, the commission discussed this application under old business. With a motion by Mr. Smith that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 1938 for Karen Barwick for a therapist's office and a residence based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the site is located in an area on the north side of Route 24 that is entirely residential. While the site has vehicular access to Route 24, DelDOT has directed that all vehicles must exit via Collins Avenue, which is a private residential street. The proposed use of the property for group therapy sessions is not compatible with the site under these traffic limitations. Two, the site does not provide a safe means of ingress, egress, internal maneuvering, or parking. The internal roadways and parking areas are very confined and do not appear suitable for large group meetings. Three, there are other locations, including churches and meeting halls in the vicinity, that are more suitable for the types of groups meetings that the applicant wants to conduct. And four, this recommendation does not affect the applicant's primary service of providing one-on-one therapy sessions with single clients while she resides in the home. This use at the home occupation is permitted on the site. It is only the larger therapy sessions, which are incompatible with the surrounding residential character, that should occur elsewhere. During that meeting, that motion did die for lack of a second. The commission continued discussing the application. Mr. Johnson said he has not reviewed the record, that he is not in a position to vote, and that he is willing to review the record so that he may participate in a vote at a later meeting. Mr. Smith stated he is willing to defer action to allow Mr. Johnson time to review the record, and noted that the applicant purchased the property knowing that the home occupation could be approved. Mr. Rawl stated that he understands Mr. Smith's concern about parking, group sessions, and that a limitation of the number of participants in a group session could be stipulated. Mr. Burton agreed that the number of participants in a group session could be stipulated. Mr. Smith expressed concerns about outside activities on the site. On August 23rd, Mr. Smith made a motion, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and to allow Mr. Johnson time to review the record so that he may participate in the vote on this application. That motion carried 5-0. On September 6th of 2012, the commission again discussed conditional use number 1938 under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1938 for Karen Barwick for a therapist's office based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is appropriate for this section of Route 24 directly across from the BV Medical Center campus. Two, the proposed use is primarily a home occupation where the applicant conducts one-on-one therapy sessions. The need for this conditional use is the applicant's intention to provide group therapy sessions on the premises on a very limited basis. Three, the use of the therapist's office will benefit the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County residents. Four, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or the community. Five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to small group therapy sessions in addition to the one-on-one therapy sessions permitted as a home occupation. B, there shall be no more than 7 participants in any group therapy session on the premise. The group sessions will also be limited to 2 group sessions per week. C, the parking shall be reconfigured to contain only 7 spaces with barriers to prohibit parking on grassy areas. The single parking space nearest the do not enter signs shall be eliminated. One additional parking space shall be provided for the handicap space. The applicant shall also install signage notifying clients that parking on Collins Avenue is prohibited. D, the applicant shall post a sign at the Collins Avenue exit identifying the reduced speed on that residential roadway. E, the applicant shall contribute a pro rata share of all upkeep and maintenance costs of Collins Avenue. F, there shall also be 1 lighted sign along Route 24 to identify the practice and the entrance. The sign shall not exceed 32 square feet in size per side, and it shall not be illuminated between the hours of 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. G, the hours of the operation shall be between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. H, there shall not be any parking in a front yard setback. I, all entrances and improvements shall comply with all of DelDOT's requirements. J, the use shall be served by County SOAR when that service becomes available and shall comply with the requirements of the County Engineering Department regarding any improvements to the system that are required to serve the property. K, the applicant shall submit a revised preliminary site plan addressing the conditions of this approval. L, this approval is linked to the applicant's therapy home office, or excuse me, home occupation. As a result, this conditional use shall automatically expire in the event the applicant no longer resides in the property and the home occupation is no longer valid. And M, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to the County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-1 with Mr. Wheatley opposing the motion. For the benefit of the commission, or excuse me, the council, I pass down copies of those conditions and stipulations that I just read. And I also pass down copies of a revised proposed conditions and on this conditional use provided on behalf of Mr. Fuqua representing the applicant. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Thank you. Is the applicant or a representative of the applicant present?
Yes, Mr. Rock.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. And I'm representing the applicant, Karen Barwick. Karen is seated right behind me here. Mr. Lank mentioned that a small exhibit package was handed out, which I think you gentlemen have a copy of. And as far as any proposed conditions that have been submitted on my behalf, you can disregard those because I have new ones to give you today as part of our presentation.
Not these that were just passed out.
No, you can disregard those. Just as a starting point, this proposed conditional use is really quite minimal. It's not a big request. It's something that's compatible with a home occupation that Karen has on the site. And it's complicated by the fact that this site basically has access to two roads, Route 24 and the subdivision road, which is Collins Avenue. And unfortunately, Route 24 is too busy, and Collins Avenue is a very quiet street, but they're the two roads that we have access to. One of them, DelDOT's restricting us from using. The other one, we certainly recognize that the residents don't want to be inconvenienced by the use of that road. And as I'll explain in our presentation, what we've done is tried to consider everything we could do to minimize the impact that we'll have. So this is a conditional use application for a property. It's located on the north side of Route 24. It's just east of the Plantations Road intersection and just west of where the BB Hospital campus is that's on the south side of Route 24. You may recall that this same property was the subject of a prior conditional use application that was filed by the previous owner of the property, and that was a Dorothy Garvey. And that was an application to use the site as a medical office. And the County Council held a public hearing on that in July of 2011. That involved, I think, a doctor was buying it. He had a contract that was contingent on the conditional use approval. The Council deferred action on that application and requested the County Attorney to clarify the status of the site as far as connecting to County Sewer and whether the County could require the applicant to share in road maintenance of Collins Avenue. That contract expired, and that conditional use application was withdrawn. During that period of time, Karen became aware that the property was for sale. She was very interested in the site because the property would serve two purposes for her, both as a residence and an office. Karen is a certified licensed therapist. She provides counseling services. The focus of Karen's practice is helping people deal with grief and loss, trauma, and post-traumatic stress, and other stage-of-life transitions. This property was almost perfect for Karen's uses for several reasons. Number one, Karen operates her own practice. She is the only therapist in her practice, and in fact, she's the only employee in her practice. So Karen is her business, basically. Karen planned to reside in the residence as her home, and there's sufficient space in the home for her to do her counseling work. And Karen's practice is not high intensity, like a doctor's office would be, with patients coming and going. She generally sees a maximum of 6 or 7 clients per day for about an hour or an hour and a half each. So that's spread out over the day. So it's very low intensity. With those considerations, Karen's use of the home as a residence and therapy office under the zoning ordinance would qualify as a home occupation. And you'll see in the exhibits that I submitted in Exhibit E is a letter from Mr. Lank dated June 2nd. Confirming that Karen's use of the house under those circumstances would be permitted as a home occupation. So what Karen, a good portion of what Karen does is permitted as a home occupation. As a result, Karen did purchase the property. She's moved in. She now resides there, and she is seeing her counseling clients at her location. Now, I mentioned that the site was almost perfect for Karen's practice, but one of the limitations on a home occupation is that it does not permit group instruction or assembly. And part of Karen's practice, in addition to individual counseling, involves small group therapy sessions with her clients. It basically is part of the counseling process that she does. So the only use that we're actually requesting in this conditional use application is to permit Karen to hold group sessions as part of her practice. Now, as far as the site itself, I want to address some of the questions that you had on the prior conditional use application. This site does have an existing well, which is being used for water on the site. The site is in the planning area of the county sewer system, but the county has no plans for providing service at the current time. We understand that when county sewer service is available, the home will have to be connected to the county system. The site had an existing on-site septic system. Karen, after she purchased the property, had that replaced with a new system. And prior to purchasing the property, we had discussions with DelDOT, and DelDOT approved an entrance for Karen's use for her home and counseling business. And conditions of that entrance approval is that access is permitted from Route 24 by way of the existing entrance that was there. However, all vehicles leaving the site must exit by way of Collins Avenue. Now, Collins Avenue is the road that borders the rear of Karen's property, and it connects out to Plantations Road. Also, DelDOT required that Karen would put up signs basically saying, "Do not enter," and these would be so people would not come back out toward Route 24 to exit the property. And those conditions are all in Exhibit D, which is the DelDOT entrance approval, no objection letter, dated May 15th of this year. So Karen's required by DelDOT to use Collins Avenue to exit her property. And as you may recall, or if you look at the photographs that are in Exhibit A of the package there, you can see that Karen has two lots and Midway Acres. Her driveway basically runs from Route 24 to Collins Avenue. And then, as I said, Collins Avenue connects to Plantations Road. Collins Avenue has a 30-foot right-of-way, but only a small portion of that right-of-way is really used for vehicles. And it really is more of a drive than what you would consider to be a road or an avenue. When Karen bought the property, my office did do a title search on the property. And there are no covenants or restrictions addressing the maintenance or who has the responsibility of maintaining the road. At the planning and zoning hearing, one of Karen's neighbors spoke, Mrs. Imhoff, and she said that she was not necessarily opposed to Karen's proposed use, but she was concerned about the impact of traffic on Collins Avenue. She said that her husband has maintained the right-of-way in the past, and I think also some of the other neighbors have contributed to those costs. And Mr. Imhoff is present, so he'll be obviously expressing his opinion. I do want to stress that we certainly understand the concerns over the road, and as I will explain when I review the conditions, we've taken measures to try to minimize the impact we will have on that road, and I'll explain those in a moment. First, I do want to just touch base regarding the nature of these group sessions that Karen's uses. First of all, they're not held every day. They're just periodically held. When we requested, or when we filed our original application, we requested a maximum of 10 group sessions per month. Planning and zoning recommended approval of Karen's conditional use, but they recommended that the that condition be two per week, a maximum of two per week. Now, that's almost the same as we requested, and that is acceptable to Karen. Again, in our original proposal, we requested a maximum of 15 people at any one of these group sessions. Planning and zoning recommended a maximum of seven people. I had already submitted a letter at that time for the council's benefit stating that we were lowering our request from 15 to a maximum of 10 people. And as I said, planning and zoning had recommended seven. From Karen's experience and her past practice with these group sessions, 10 really is the minimum number of people to have for these effective meetings and to basically be able to service her clients. I don't believe there would be any significant difference in the impact of 10 versus 7, so we would request that if you do approve this, that you would make 10 the maximum number permitted. And as I said, I do have that in the conditions that I'll be submitting to you in a minute. Also, there is adequate area for parking spaces for 10 vehicles. And again, I have a plot that's attached to these conditions that show the location of those parking places. As to the hours, Karen is requesting to hold the group sessions between the hours of 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Now, these group sessions do not last from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. This would just be the time limits in which they could occur. Planning and zoning did not mention Sunday hours, but that also is very important to Karen. That is the only time when some people are available for these sessions. Some people work on Saturday. They have other obligations on Saturdays. It is important for her to be able to do this on Sundays. And again, these group sessions are not loud, unruly events. They're very controlled environments, very quiet events. So again, as far as the conditions, what I've done is I've taken the proposed conditions that I had done before. I mixed in with that the conditions that the Planning and Zoning Commission had recommended. I hand these to Mr. Rutt and ask him to hand those down to you. And what I'd like to do, just go over those for your benefit as well as for the benefit of anyone who might be here on this application. So again, if these are the conditions that we would request you impose on this conditional use if you approve it, and as I said, this is a combination of Planning and Zoning Commission and our thoughts. A, the use shall be limited to small group therapy sessions in addition to the one-on-one therapy sessions permitted as a home occupation. B, there shall be no more than 10 participants in any group therapy session on the premises, and no more than two group therapy sessions shall be held per week. C, parking spaces shall be provided as shown on the parking exhibit attached hereto, with barriers to prohibit parking on the grassy areas. The applicant shall also install signage notifying clients that parking on Collins Avenue is prohibited. And again, if you look at the last page, you can see a plot there of the site showing where the 10 parking places would be located for the clients. One of the requirements here would be to notify everyone that nobody can park on Collins Avenue. D, the applicant shall post a sign at Collins Avenue exit identifying the reduced speed on that residential roadway. And again, this is to minimize any impact. Karen would put up a sign there basically indicating that reduced speed is requested on Collins. E, the applicant shall contribute a prorated share of all upkeep and maintenance cost on Collins Avenue. We certainly recognize that was an obligation of Karen's, and we originally had proposed we would do that. As I said, it's been somewhat of a voluntary act on the part of some of the residents there now, particularly Mr. Imhoff, and we certainly recognize that that's our obligation and a responsibility to contribute to that. F, that's the same as what Lawrence stated. This was a restriction or a condition from the Planning Commission. There shall also be one lighted sign along Route 24 to identify the practice and the entrance. The sign shall not exceed 32 square feet in size per side, and it shall not be illuminated between the hours of 9 and 6 a.m. G, group sessions shall be held between the hours of 9 and 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 and 3 on Saturday and Sunday. And again, as I said, there's only going to be two per week maximum, and they don't last that long. This is just they would just have to be held within the time frame of those hours. H, and again, this is one we're proposing to, again, minimize the impact on Collins Avenue. The Karen's clients shall be advised that access to the site shall be from Route 24, but client egress from the site shall be by way of Collins Avenue to Plantations Road. Vehicles exiting the site will be staggered so that no more than two vehicles will exit at a time. No exiting is permitted on Route 24. Now, the two things there are that, number one, Karen's going to have her clients enter from Route 24. And what that means is those clients will not be using Collins Avenue to enter the site. So that'll at least cut out half the potential trips. And then the other part is Karen would have that no more than two of her clients would leave at a time. Now, if you're at a shopping center or a 7-Eleven store, you can't control that. But with the nature of Karen's practice, she can control that. This is a very informal group. Karen will just ask the people to wait until two people have left so that there won't be any volume of traffic on Collins Avenue at any one time. I is all entrance and improvements, or all entrance and improvements shall comply with DLDOT's requirements, and that would include the comments that are in their letter. J, the use, this again was required by planning and zoning, the use shall be served by county sewer when that service becomes available and shall comply with the requirements of the county engineering department regarding any improvements to the system that are required to serve. And K, the approval is linked to the applicant's therapy home occupation. As a result, this conditional use shall automatically expire in the event applicant no longer resides in the property and the home occupation is no longer valid. So in conclusion, I think you're all familiar with this area. This is an older single-family residence. It's at a location that had significantly changed. As a BB Hospital campus and the Delaware Eye Center are kind of across the road. There's high traffic volume on Route 24, at least in the summer and warmer months. It's not an ideal front location for a residence, but it certainly serves a great purpose for what Karen's use is. DLDOT requires us to use Collins Avenue as our exit. We would use Route 24 if permitted, but we're not permitted. The prior conditional use that was withdrawn was for a medical office. That obviously would put a significant impact on Collins Avenue. I think you know that medical offices have a pretty high traffic volume. That certainly would cause an inconvenience and an intrusion into the residential nature. But on the other hand, Karen's counseling practice with these limited group meetings and limited number of people as part of her regular practice, we really believe creates a reasonable use of the property. And again, we'll have minimal impact on the neighbor with these conditions that we're proposing. Again, it's very important to Karen in that the group sessions, as I said, are an integral part of her counseling service. And this conditional use, as you know, conditional uses are supposed to be essential and desirable for the welfare of area residents. That's the purpose of a conditional use. And this is a conditional use that certainly meets those requirements thoroughly. The only other thing I want to add is that I can personally represent that Karen is not only a highly competent counselor, but she is a person of high integrity. I know her well, and she will be a responsible property owner and a benefit to her neighbors. So with that, we would request your approval to permit these group sessions as part of her home occupation, subject, of course, to the conditions that I stated. Karen, do you have anything you want to add?
Yes.
Sure.
Pam wants to add something, too.
Nora, carry on.
Thank you.
Come on.
Hello, I'm Karen Barwick. So there were just everything that Jim shared was accurate and in alignment with what I was hoping for. There were just a couple of clarifications and things I'd like to add. One, I want to respectfully stress that this is, in fact, my home. You know, I live there with my two kids. Being a part of the community, both as a homeowner but also in the work that I do, is really important to me. And not being in adverse relationship with those in my environment is really, really important to me. And I made effort to really initiate a dialogue with my neighbors because what they think and how they feel is important. And we use that feedback to kind of sculpt what I'm asking for today. And I'll continue to keep a dialogue open. You know, the work that I do is about healing. You know, it's about relationship. And as I often say to my clients, if I'm not walking my talk, they might as well just buy a self-help book because it doesn't, I have nothing to offer. Okay, so that is something that I really try to live. You know, so it is important to me that we're all kind of working together. In terms of the group, I just wanted to add a couple of points that, clarification points. I currently run a group. It meets twice a month, and I would like to continue to run that group. There are 10 people in that group. So if the number was reduced to 7, that would definitely have an adverse effect on 3 people. And it's been a very successful group in the impact it's had from my perspective. Most, and Jim noted this, that I was asking for, you know, that we stated the hours of operation, and he clarified that that did not mean that I would be doing groups 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, that would just be the hours with which I could do groups. Most groups only last about 2 hours, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. I can't imagine doing on a regular basis groups that would last longer than that because my primary practice is an individual one-on-one practice. There are just things that you can do in group work, whether it's psychoeducational or group therapy, that you just can't do in one-on-one, and they really do work very compatibly. Thank you. It's really the occasional, you know, the occasion that I might do a longer group, maybe a half day or a full day type of thing. If I was doing a, you know, a psychoeducational type of offering. By having the groups on site, it really allows me to maintain control of the environment. It creates a more consistent environment for my clients. It's less disruptive. We don't have to worry about whether or not, you know, I can find a space or whether a space is available or people getting confused. And it, there's a familiarity also for clients that are seeing me in one-on-one practice that they're coming to. So it just assists in the healing environment by having it all in one location. You know, it's my intention to, as part of the community, to hopefully create something that's added value to the community. You know, I not only just in the structure, but just in our presence there. You know, I really I hope to do improvements to the property that will add to the value of the community. So I think that's all I had. So thank you very much.
Gentlemen, thank you. That does conclude our presentation. We'll be happy to try to answer any questions you have.
I felt like I was in a group session.
Any questions? Any questions of council?
Questions from council?
Yes, I got a question. Where have you been doing the group sessions presently? You bring it back up again? Currently, you're where at these group sessions?
I've done them in many different locations. Right now, my group is over at the Medical Arts Building across the street, at the what was formerly the Wellness Community. It's the Cancer Support Community. They are kindly allowing me to use one of their rooms.
Second question might be to Jim. Or chime in down there at the end of the aisle there. Can DLDOT require the county to stipulate that we have to make somebody use a private road?
I've never seen it before.
They're not requiring. They're requiring her to, or they're recommending, or I guess, or something, right?
But, well, no. What DLDOT said is that for her entrance, it was limited to entrance only,
right?
Because she had another exit. Now, her two lots are part of Midway Acres,
right?
So, I mean, those lots have the right to use that road, all right? So it's not using it's a private road, but it's a private road that these lots have the right to use.
Okay. Now, you haven't looked into the issue with private roads, Dave. There aren't any other commercial uses in Midway Estates, right?
Mr. Cole, I think what it would amount to is this. What DLDOT basically is saying is if you have a residence there, you can enter and exit onto Route 24.
Right.
We don't like it,
right.
But you can enter and exit. But if you have any other use, right, we'll not give you an entrance.
No, my just concerns are the rights of the other people who have to share this private road for residential uses. And Midway Estates was established as a residential subdivision. That do we have the ability to all of a sudden put, you know, like a commercial type of use to that private road that she's, I don't know if there's in the deed, do they own a portion of it or is it left out of everybody's deed? I know where I live, I own half the private road. Do they?
No, it's just a road that's shown on the plot.
All right, okay. All right, and there's other, and recently, Jim, my only concern with this is, when I was trying to find out how important group sessions are, because I've evolved like our president has done on issues. I'm evolving over the years, and I've evolved on the enforcement, the difficulty of enforcement. So I can see a neighbor calling up and saying, "We see 11 cars," and by the time our enforcement guy comes by the next day, of course, there's no cars. It's impossible to enforce this because if you know, just enforcement is very difficult on these group sessions and limiting it to X. I mean, it's like 7 people or whatever it is, or 10% to participants. How do we, you know, who's going to be scrutinizing that, counting them in and out? So in other words, what I've been recommending in some of these conditional uses that we don't get into trying to look at this. So, you know, is it possible for us to, I mean, I guess to shape a conditional use that would provide for group therapy sessions, and then but not have to deal with our enforcement people worrying about, you know, who's there and who's not there and that kind of stuff. Yes, Sam, do you have a question for me? No, did you want to say something, Sam?
No, I'm saying the same thing you're
saying. No, I'm just saying that's what my thought process is now. I don't know where I'm still evolving.
I think
I might need a group session.
I think I'm looking at the way
Georgia evolve.
I thought it was amazing that we even put on here says two group therapists, therapy sessions held per week.
Right.
I mean, what the heck difference does it make? It's three.
What we ought to get. We ought to find if it's, a, if it's an appropriate use, Sam.
Like this.
Is it appropriate use? Should we not care about how many they have?
Well,
all day long, all night long. But anyway,
if we're going to worry about if we're only going to get 10 in the and the reason we're having 10 is because we're having too many cars and more than 10. Is that the reason? If that be the case, then I'd recommend you get you a taxi or something and pick them up down the road and bring you. You could have a dozen. Some of these things are, to me, it says two vehicles. And who's going? And here's another thing it says here in this article. It says two vehicles will exit at a time. Who's going to be staying there counting? Well, it's going to be three or two or one.
Well, Karen, okay. Now, let me back up a second. I agree that these are really picky things, but what we're trying to do here is we understand the concerns of the neighbors, and we understand that they don't want to have a large impact on this. As I said, this is not like a 7-Eleven store where people are just coming and going.
So it's going to be the neighbors counting, you're saying?
Well, no, it's going to be Karen, okay, that's going to be enforcing this.
But as we know, the conditional use could be sold, and maybe somebody came in who did also. I guess if this conditional use was to change hands, which they're allowed to do, they run with the land, not with the applicant, somebody else could come in and do only group sessions, limited to these kind of people. But group therapy. Now, let me add, Dave, would it have to be group therapy for the kind of therapy, grief or some, or can it be group therapy for AA, like I would be going to?
That doesn't indicate what type of group therapy. But in regard to your comment about the next owner, condition K says that it's her home occupation and would expire in the event she doesn't reside in the residence. So.
But the conditional use is for group therapy.
But only if it's this home occupation.
So you're trying to tell me we can link the two? Once a conditional use, I've always thought the conditional use is anybody can have home occupations pretty much as long as they come to Lawrence, right, and get approval.
But it's linked to home occupation.
Limited. Okay, well, limited, but okay.
Now, Mr. Cole, if someone gets a conditional use on their land, that is another person can buy that.
Exactly.
So if I had a barber shop as a conditional use, I could sell it to another person who could have a barber shop.
Right.
This one's different in that this is tied to the home occupation, Karen's therapy home occupation. So these group things are not standalone. If the home occupation ended, remember the home occupation means you have to reside there. So theoretically, if Karen found another therapist that wanted to buy the property and live in it and have a therapy thing there, then yes, the conditional use would survive, but that is highly unlikely that would ever occur.
Okay, we can say that the conditional use will automatically expire, even though conditional uses run with the land. You know, they seemed always, in my mind, been kind of a separate entity or whatever you want to call it.
It runs with the land, but only as long as Karen has a home occupation there.
Have we ever done that before?
Conditional use is for a home occupation.
Right.
You don't need a conditional use for the home. That's to say, I'm saying, Mike, we don't need a conditional use. She can have all the therapy sessions she wants one-on-one as a home occupation,
correct,
which Lawrence says is okay. Where we run into the problem is because she wants to have groups of 10 whenever, you know, in the place on site. So we're approving a conditional use for a group of 10 people for therapy sessions. Doesn't have anything to do with home occupation in my mind. I mean, I know there's a linkage to it, but.
Well, this conditional use is linked to her home occupation because it says that if she knows.
How was it advertised? I mean, was it?
The home, it's a.
Yeah, how is it?
It's kind of crazy. It says two.
Oh, yeah, it just sounds confused.
Is a therapist, office, and residence. The presentation
is.
It's
already a residence.
It is a residence, and it has a home occupation approval. It's valid. But the home occupation definition does not allow groups.
I understand.
So they apply for the
conditional. Mr. Cole, when I applied for the conditional use, we did not have Lawrence's letter stating that the home occupation was permitted yet. So I've kind of applied broadly.
Well, I'm just worried about.
I'll just say this: that condition is acceptable to Karen.
Right.
and it's acceptable. I mean, that's all I can tell you.
Well, again, enforcement, like Sam and I think are on the same page on that.
Well, you're going to have enforcement issues about enforcement. On any conditional use with conditions, obviously, you're going to have an enforcement question. That's just, it goes hand in hand with
it. But how much do you want to enforce? How much? I mean, what is logically?
Well, logically, you're dealing with a person of integrity here who's going to enforce the conditions. The neighbors obviously live on Collins Avenue. They're going to see what's going on. If there's a problem, they're going to call the Planning and Zoning Office. And if there's some blatant violation here, then either there's going to be a letter sent or there's going to be a notice sent that the conditional use has been revoked. I mean, that's the way it works.
I know, but hard to enforce it. That's all. I'm just, okay.
Question, Mr. Cole?
Just the other thing on DelDOT and on the use of a private road. I'm just, I don't know if I'm, if something bothers me that we can sit here and say that on a residential private road, we're going to, you know, give this.
I don't know.
Like I said, I don't know if you have any. You know, I'm trying to.
Really, a private road, George? Who blacktopped the road? The state blacktopped or private? Huh? It's private.
No, it's an old subdivision road that was never paved.
It's private.
It's not even paved.
Yeah, no. Yeah, state doesn't maintain it.
Okay. Mr. Fuqua could probably answer this, but are there any restrictions on the use of that road?
No. The road isn't even addressed in there. There's just some of the old-time general restrictions about, you know, no chickens and things of that nature, I believe, but nothing that really applies to the road.
So there's really nothing in the restrictions that would prevent anybody from using that road or how much?
What in the event that the road, which is dirt, right, a few stones floating around, right? Stone, dirt. And there's one guy, one neighbor who's been graciously taking care of it. If he says, I'm fed up, I'm not taking care of it, and the road gets so bad, I mean, what happens when the road's impassable where people saying, I'm not riding through to get my car dirty or something, you know, there's a puddle.
Then she loses business.
No, I know, but I'm just.
I understand that, that's right.
Well, what we said is, and it's been voluntary on this part. I mean, the people living there have been taking care of their own things. Karen has agreed that she'll be responsible for a share of this, and we've made that a condition of things. And again, I want to stress, we're talking about some people coming in, going down that road, but, you know, there might be, on a day of a regular business, there might be six cars of her clients going down that road, and at a group session, at the most, there's going to be 10 cars going down that road. So, it's not high intensity.
Jim, define this for me. What's your point of view on E? The applicant shall contribute a pro rata share. What is her pro rata share of how many homes are on that road, and what is her share?
On the other section, what they did was each lot was responsible for an equal share. Okay. Here, I'd say whatever the costs are, and this isn't fair, but whatever the costs are, whoever is willing to contribute should pay an equal share of those willing to contribute.
Well, she's putting it, most everybody are using it as a residential, their shares are as a residential use. All of a sudden, we're permitting 10 vehicles, you know, additional vehicles at whatever period of time using the road. So I would think her share would be much greater at this point. Is there a way that we can, so that eliminate future concerns of the neighbors when they start saying, why are we subsidizing, you know, and she's only paying 1/8 because there's 8 lots, when she should be paying maybe more. I don't know.
I understand what you're saying.
Is there a better formula to make it more equitable to the other people?
I don't know how many people use it.
If my approval, say, would put that additional burden on them, should we?
It's fair. I mean, it's fair. Like you said, I don't know how to. I would have worded it to address that if I knew how to do it, but I'm not sure how to do it.
I don't like arbitrarily saying she ought to be paying a greater share of what this is what it is, but I just was wondering if there could be a is there any kind of homeowners association with this group of people?
It's just the folks that live there, not a formal homeowners
association. Well, that's usually who's in a homeowners association.
I mean, if you could leave it that to be worked out among the parties, and if we can't work it out, you know, we come back.
Well, I don't know.
I think we can work it out. I don't think it's a problem. I mean, Karen, as I said, she recognizes that if she's placing a heavier burden on the road, then she should be paying a heavier share. I mean, that's just fair. Give us a chance of working it out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the neighborhood and certain neighbors, we want to make sure we get this right.
And some of the neighbors are here, so, you know, perhaps their input.
Okay, let me hear from some other people. Thank you.
Anything else, George?
Any other questions?
That's not, I didn't know there was more people.
Another question, that council?
Thank you, Mr.
Okay, thank you.
I do have one question, sir. I noticed in your conditions that you skipped over P&Z's condition H about no parking in the front yard setback. Was that for a reason, or you just missed that?
There's no client parking in the front yard setback. Karen has a garage in front of her house. When you come in from the road, there's a garage there. I didn't want to prohibit her from parking in front of her own garage. I certainly understand no client parking in the front setback. If you look on that plot, you can see.
Well, look, now, maybe I'll look at something. Look at this. Looks like the garage is behind the house.
There's two garages.
Oh.
There's an attached garage and a freestanding garage.
One of them's a drive-through.
Okay.
Again, that's probably the difficulty, whether it's a client or, you know, nobody knows.
Karen will control her own site.
Any more questions, council?
Thank you, Mr. Request.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here?
I guess I do have one question. I'm puzzled by the absence of Ms. Deaver. Do you have a relationship with her? Why is she not here today?
She thought it was a conflict, I think.
My understanding is that Mrs. Deaver owns a house. I think it's a rental house.
Directly next door.
Near there. On Collins, it borders on Collins Avenue.
She lives on the southeast corner of Collins. Okay. And
does she own a property on the side?
I mean, if anyone would be qualified to give us...
She has a house on Collins.
She did excuse herself from the prior conditional use application also.
Because she lived in the neighborhood?
I don't know. I just
read
the minutes.
She owns a property right next door. She owns a direct... Isn't that correct?
No.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody could give us insight on this situation, I would think it would be her.
Well, she would be
offering factual testimony, so to speak.
She owns a lot on the southeast corner of Plantation Road in Collins, and she also owns a house right adjacent to this property.
But if on my aerial, it says parcel 84, which is at the back driveway where these cars, 10 cars will be parking, are right next to her. I don't know if it's her house or a resident or her rental house.
I don't think so.
It says Deaver.
She lives on the corner of.
I know where she lives, but she has other properties, and it sounds like this could be maybe then.
You have more information than I have.
Is that written somewhere that if you own property in the area?
You see now, I guess it says, look right next at the back driveway on Collins. It says the adjoining property. It says Deaver. That's why Mrs. Deaver's not here, because she probably felt it was a conflict of some sort. We'd have to ask her, but I don't know.
That was her choice.
Right. She didn't say anything, got up and left.
She didn't say anything, no.
Right, she didn't say why.
She didn't say why.
We're down here.
No,
we're
right.
She's right here. The second name.
Read
that. Get those glasses on there.
It says Deaver.
Yeah, she owns a property next door to it. That's right.
And is that part of our code, that if you own property in the neighborhood, you can't participate? Or?
No, but the state ethics code or conduct says if there's any indication of impropriety that, you know, you should not participate.
Even if it appears.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a judgmental call on the part of Ms. Deaver, just as it would be on anyone else, that if you felt there could be a question of impropriety or a question of conflict.
I know it would be a difficult vote, but if there's anyone that can probably judge this application, it would be her.
Well, I don't disagree with your opinion, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's her discretion, her opinion, whether to say she feels she has a conflict or not.
Okay.
Okay, anyone here in support of this application?
I think it's an election here.
Yeah. Anyone in opposition?
As the gentleman comes up, can I read an email that we received in opposition?
Yes.
We received an email, came through Sunday. It's from Rose M. Hoff. I probably said that wrong. My name is Rose M. Hoff, and I live on Collins Avenue in Midway Acres. Unfortunately, I am unable to attend a meeting scheduled for September 11, as I am out of town for work. I am writing to express my concerns regarding a request for Karen Barwick to hold group therapy sessions at her home. My concerns are in regard to the number of vehicles that will be utilized in Collins Avenue, as well as potential parking issues. Collins Avenue is a very narrow road. I do not believe that the road can support the increased level of traffic that will result from group therapy sessions. Currently, the road is very narrow and does not allow two vehicles to pass simultaneously. Recommendations by DLDOT state that clients would enter the location off of Route 24 and exit via Collins Avenue. Collins Avenue exits onto Plantation Road, which, as you know, gets very backed up, especially during summer months. If there is a line of traffic to exit Collins Avenue on the to Plantation Road, this could create quite a delay and would prevent anyone wishing to enter Collins Avenue from being able to gain access. This would be a potential problem for residents of this community, especially if they were trying to get home. Maintenance of the road is another concern, as this has historically been paid for by the residents of Midway Acres, equally sharing the cost burden. Unfortunately, Collins Avenue is a well-worn road, and even with the limited traffic that we currently have, the road needs frequent repairs. Increased traffic flow will increase the need for repairs, resulting in increased cost shared by all the residents, which seems a little unfair. In addition, during winter months, there is no state maintenance of this road. In the event of snow accumulation, Collins Avenue becomes almost impassable. Parking for participants of group therapy is another concern, as Karen's property has limited space available for parking. As a result, I am concerned that participants will be forced to park alongside Collins Avenue, further impeding the flow of traffic. I also have concern regarding the hours of operation, which are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and weekends from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. I believe that the extended weekday hours as well as the weekend hours infringe on the residential tone of the neighborhood and would request that the hours be more limited. I would request that hours be limited to Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that Sunday hours be denied. I sincerely appreciate your time and consideration in this matter. If you have any questions, and she provides her email and her phone number. Thank you.
And that will be made part of the record.
It is.
Sir, would you identify yourself?
Gentlemen, my name is Jesse M. Hoff, Rose's husband. Historically, I've been a road maintainer for the last 13 years. It is a narrow road, stone, one car width. Who wants to decide who pays for what? Only thing I can say is I know that with the daily visits, the road maintenance has already shown wear, which was just done in the spring. I am opposed to 7 days a week and just the group part of it. I just think it'll be too much of impact on Collins Avenue trying to get out. I mean, if anybody knows Plantation Road, it backs up in the summer or weekends now, and you get six or seven cars, regardless if you stagger them. I think it'll be backup. I mean, I don't have anything against Karen and her doing her therapy, but I think the group is definitely.
So it's the current operation is not a big issue, but it's this next step is what.
Correct.
Is the only thing you're objecting to?
I say the current, if we can, the hours. I think I'm not happy with the hours.
Well, in a home occupation, Lawrence, we don't really.
No hours.
We don't address hours.
So
no hours.
Anyway, the hours and the road. Right. I mean, I just, somewhere along the line, being a residential road, somebody's got to do something. You know what I mean? That's my concern.
Okay. Because they're suggesting a just. An equal share, and you're thinking that might not be an equal.
Obviously,
the rest
that,
of you.
Correct. I mean, when you're running a business and okay. Everybody else is residential, I mean, I should pay less. I walk to work. That's all I have, gentlemen. Thank you.
Anyone
thank
have
you.
Any questions, Mr. Imhoff?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in office? Sir?
Good afternoon. My name's William Blizzard. I reside at 34869 Collins Avenue, which is directly behind the residence in question. And again, like Mr. Emhall stated, really don't have any issue with the use of her. Her home is a home business, seeing one or two people at a time. It's the group session that kind of got us going because of the amount of traffic that would require to be used on Collins Avenue. As we all know, DelDOT doesn't like people entering onto their major roadways because it ties up traffic. But if some of you have been out there, actually, for us to get out onto Plantation Road, we still have to deal with traffic coming off of Route 24, traffic turning off of Plantation Road. It creates a problem for us to even get out of our own driveways or Collins Avenue to get onto Plantation Road, especially during the summer months. And now, that area being a resort area 365 days a year, it happens almost every day, especially at certain times of the day. It becomes a problem. Road maintenance, as Mr. Emhall said, he usually determines, hey, we need to scrape the road or put down some more stone. He'll get a cost of what it takes to do that, and then whoever wants to pay to do that, and usually we divide it up evenly. But now we're using it as a residential person, and now again, you throw a commercial aspect into that, you're going to have more wear and tear. So again, there's kind of a everybody kind of pay the same thing, doesn't kind of gel, you know, because she's making money with those people using that roadway. We're not. Yeah, that's where we wanted to live because it was a nice, peaceful place to be. A lot of people didn't even know that road existed or was even a road. So, again, she did come to us. She asked us our concerns, and we appreciate that. She, so far, has been a good neighbor. You know, she wanted our input on things. Some people, you know, the other people before really didn't want any input when they wanted the doctor's office. We kind of found out this is what it was going to be, and I was back here in July for the last thing and pretty much said the same thing. Unfortunately, you know, again, DelDOT doesn't want people coming out onto Route 24 out of their driveways, especially from a commercial establishment, so they want to use our road, which, you know, if that's the case, maybe DelDOT needs to come in, widen the road, blacktop it, and maintain it. You know, that might help a little bit, but still we have the problem down at the end getting out onto Plantation Road because we're only probably maybe 200 feet from the Route 24 intersection, so traffic backs up and there's no way to really get out. You kind of just shoot the gap and hopefully nobody runs into you when you try to get out, especially if you're coming eastbound, heading towards the beach. If you're going north, heading towards Lewis, it's not that big of an issue. So, again, what she wants to use it for is a regular therapy sessions. It's not that big of a deal. The times at 9 o'clock is a little late. 8 o'clock's not too bad. Again, you heard Mr. Emhoff, he likes around 6 o'clock. Again, that's just something we can work with. The traffic is the big issue that we have. That's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment session.
We'll close public comment, and unless there are any questions from council, we'll close public hearing. And entertain.
Why don't we defer on this and just ponder the issue of the equitable use of the road if we're permitted to put that in as a condition, and maybe Dave can give us some, you know, some direction on wording on something like that would make it you know, have some validity or something.
You want to make that motion?
I'll just make a motion. We defer.
Do we have a second?
And I'll just say, and we'll be waiting for some advice from our council. We don't really have to specify. We're just because we can talk to our staff all we want. Correct? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not asking for any outside information.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to defer. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. The next public hearing is conditional.